How's that feel, Eli Manning? See what Eli comes up with here. Downfield, wide open, he's got him again! Manning to Slayton! Score it! My, oh my, what a rebirth we have tonight with Eli Manning! 55-yard touchdown, straight ahead and in. Boston Scott with a 2-yard touchdown. Fourth and one from their own 29. And Wentz is going to muscle his way. Third and goal. Pressure to the end zone. He catches it to Zach Ertz. Wentz to the end zone. Wide open. They did it. Zach Ertz. Eat that W, Philly. Even
though what we do is wrong. It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah, what's up, Las Vegas?
Welcome in on this Tuesday. Time for the Mac Attack. The next hour, 2 to 3, we're going guest list today. Mainly because, Magnum, I looked at the rundown yesterday. There were like 4 things we didn't get to. We get to Anthony Joshua, Andy Ruiz. We talk about Baker Mayfield. I'm terrible at my job.
Nah.
I feel like I gotta be quicker.
Well.
Hit him and run, Magnum. Hit him and run.
Hit and run, huh?
Yeah. Next. Well, okay. Maybe slightly more coherent than that, but
little exaggerated there.
Definitely sound better than Eli Manning in a post-game press conference. Mr. Mouthful of peanut butter. But he
Doug Collins. Ooh. Yikes.
But he almost got it done last night.
Who, Doug Collins?
No.
Oh.
Eli Manning. You heard the highlights. You put them in the open.
I played them, yeah.
Yeah, you played them. I don't know if you watched the game, but you certainly
heard
some of the game. You watched that?
Yeah, I watched the end of it, yeah.
Yeah, I browsed.
I watched from basically from the third quarter on,
yeah.
I watched.
Yeah. I browsed. It was on. I was cooking, doing things, keeping an eye on it. But I'll tell you this. When the Giants jumped out to that lead, I wasn't too worried for Eagles fans. I mean, I'm sure Eagles fans were worried. They were booing.
Yeah.
In the stadium. Well, hey, rightfully so. Hey, well, and again, rightfully so.
They are the Bluebirds.
Well, let's look at the last 24 hours. Well, okay, go back to last night. Within the last 24 hours, going back last night, you had Tom Brady and the New England Patriots getting booed off their field. So, I mean,
yeah,
that was completely unwarranted.
That's uncalled for, right. Yeah.
Philly, totally get it. You have a chance to make the playoffs being under 500. You better beat Eli Manning and the Giants.
Yeah, well, and the thing with the Patriots is, like, look, you were a trash franchise before Tom Brady. There's a good chance you're going to be a trash franchise after Tom Brady. Don't ever boo that guy.
Don't ever. He's giving you the lasting memories of, not, I don't know what age you are.
He has created millions upon millions of Patriot fans that didn't exist pre-2001.
How many actual babies do you think Tom Brady has made from his great play? Like, when he came back against the Falcons, how many babies do you think?
Like Sully from South, he's celebrating after Super Bowl win number 4?
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. So, like, let's use the Falcons comeback as an example. What, 4,000 kids? 5,000 kids?
6,000? Oh, easily, yeah. Plus, it's Boston. It's January, February. It's
cold.
Aerosmith hasn't released a new album in a while. Yeah, I mean, that's what they do.
We don't nearly get it enough of this East Coast slander. The funny thing is,
I'm an East Coast guy.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, we should pull from that more often.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. There's material coming up.
You clearly have the hate. Let it flow through you, and you hit it. We got plenty to get to. Let's go.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Ah, Tom, what'd you do? Spygate 2.0. I don't know, man. Where do we begin with this thing? I mean, the details are out there. Patriots being investigated by the NFL for filming.
Again.
The ultra voyeuristic New England Patriots. I can't believe we're reliving this again. I can't believe that the Patriots, and again, the details are out there. For those of you that don't know, the Patriots were caught filming the Bengals sideline during a game. They say that it's a part of their production crew that's doing a documentary.
Baloney.
Well, it would be a nice cover, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
I mean, if you've been caught for it once,
Yeah.
And you're Belichick, and you know how important those tapes were to your success in prior Super Bowls, potentially, right?
Well, the NFL protecting them by destroying the tapes.
Right. Well, how do you continue that? Well, you continue, but no, we're a multi-billion-dollar, you know, franchise with a multimedia company, and we're just, you know, preserving the legacy of our franchise by filming everything. It is a little questionable.
A little questionable?
All right, Jets fan, where are you sitting on this Tuesday, 24 hours removed from this news breaking?
Well, clearly Bill Belichick and the Patriots did nothing wrong. I mean, that's the narrative their fans are going to spin.
Well, and also Bill gave his official statement where he said he had no knowledge of anything.
Of course, I have no knowledge. That is a lie. Bill Belichick knows when someone takes a crap 30 miles away from the Patriots facility if they're associated with that team.
Yeah, it's true. And that was what always bugged me so bad about the Aaron Hernandez situation.
Right? They knew what was going on.
Because they knew what was going on at Florida.
First of all, they probably knew what was going on when he was growing up in Connecticut.
Well, that's true, being as close to the franchise as he was. But, I mean, they knew it at Florida. So that means when New England drafted him, they knew it. There was noise around
it. They knew he was a scumbag.
Right. And you're right. If anyone has their finger on the pulse of every single facet of that organization, it is Mr. Hoodie himself.
He is like Kim Jong-un, minus the executing.
Say, slightly better haircut.
Minus feeding his uncle to dogs.
Right. Minor caveats there. But
and shooting missiles at Japan.
Minor caveats.
Today he shoots missiles at the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins.
The entire
AFC East, yeah.
Well,
who I think you can complete a roster of all-stars from those teams during the time that the Patriots have been on this run, and you probably still don't beat the best Patriots team ever.
I love that the series that they were filming was called Do Your Job.
Well, that guy was doing his job.
So now we wait. There's obviously there's a lot of emotion around this story. Tom Brady's declining, yet the Patriots keep winning. People are going to look for reasons no matter what. But here's what I don't understand.
Well, clearly it didn't work against Baltimore.
No, it didn't work against
Kansas
Baltimore
City.
Or Kansas City. Here's the thing, though. If you've already been in trouble for this, what are you doing? That's something that Belichick said. You know, we're ultra careful. You know, we ever since that happened, you know, years ago with Spygate, we've been, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, you know, we've been at the forefront and trying to be as transparent as possible, yada, yada, yada. Well, why are you even shooting documentaries?
Why
don't you let NFL Films handle that?
Because they're arrogant, brazen.
Because they're probably cheating.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, probably. And the ultimate irony in all of this is the fact that it was the Cleveland Browns who might end up being the ones who help. Who did bring this story to light because they were at Cleveland Stadium.
They were like, hey.
They got permission to film this documentary and nothing else, and it was someone from the Browns who noticed that they were filming the sideline for the Bengals, and it's pretty funny. Funny stuff.
It's something. I mean, coming off the heels of this Astros scandal, which is still being, you know, investigated, we don't know what the final outcome of that situation is going to be. We know it's not good.
Yeah.
Cheating is a part of sports. I think we acknowledge that. There's the old adage in every sport. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Well, Bill Belichick is like Ric Flair.
Yes.
He's the guy who's going to poke you in the eye and give you the old shot to the family jewels. And
when you come after him, he gets on his knees. No, please don't.
Or he'll dance on his tippy toes and fall face first into the mat. After you swing and miss.
A little less charisma with Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he's...
He doesn't have the panache and the flash.
Yeah, well, I can't think of a wrestler who had less pizzazz and panache than Bill Belichick, but he would be that guy.
Yeah, The Undertaker.
Yeah, but at least The Undertaker had a good shtick, right? He had a good gimmick.
I mean, Bill Belichick's basically...
Rise from the dead.
Yeah, but Bill Belichick's basically the dead man.
That's true.
And he keeps rising. He gets Tom Brady to rise from the dead seemingly every single year.
So are you saying that Tom Brady is The Undertaker and Bill Belichick is Paul Bearer?
That's interesting. Yeah. Go to my Paul Bearer. Oh, boy. The show could get off the rails real quickly. So, obviously...
No promos of your favorite team as Paul Bearer?
I already did, Dusty Rhodes 2 weeks ago on the press box. God. Clay was like, yeah, we should do this. We should do the hard times promo, except sub in the Lions and the Bears. I'm like, It's 6 a.m, man, but sure, let's go.
All you're missing is the Sloppy Joe's t-shirt and you're
right. I'm so not like an impressionist, but you know, let's have fun. Why not? It's very frustrating. So
Dusty Rhodes, Bill Belichick is not.
No, he's not. Bill Belichick is, yeah. He's Bill Belichick, but you're right. I love that comparison. I love, you know, the dirtiest player in the game. That was the coin. That was the term used to coin Ric Flair later in his career.
14-time right. World champion. Woo!
And then the announcers would always introduce him as the dirtiest player in the game, and that was kind of understood that when you got in the ring with Ric Flair, that something not on the up and up was going to happen. Yeah. And you are. I love that comparison because we are absolutely living that Bill Belichick right now, to the point to where it happens, and I'm sitting here laughing. It's not really funny. It's really not. No. Especially when you factor in the teams that you brought up, right? The Dolphins, the Bills, the Jets. Divisional opponents have to be furious because now you're sitting there questioning. What I mean, yes, Tom Brady's great. He's great. He was going to win Super Bowls. But six? And at what cost? And how did these exactly come to fruition? And then again, you mentioned it. Kraft, Goodell. The tapes,
yeah.
What, the favoritism.
That's
how far does this run?
I think it's been going on for 20 years. I mean, maybe even it goes back to Cleveland. Maybe Belichick was doing this when he was with the Browns.
No, it's possible.
I mean, who knows? Well, maybe. And I mean, look.
But
maybe,
you would agree that most teams cheat, right?
I would think
whether it be like maybe like the innocuous turning off the sideline headsets.
Well, that's happened in New England too,
of course. Of course. I'm just saying.
I mean,
frozen balls.
I don't want to say every team cheats. I will say every team likes to push the boundaries of the rules to see what they can get away with.
I'm sorry, is that not semantics? That's cheating.
No. Because if you push the rules and you try to bend them, that's not breaking.
Okay,
them.
Then that's exactly what Bill Belichick did here.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Because he's already been caught cheating once.
It doesn't
doing
matter.
This.
Doesn't matter. The last time doesn't matter this time.
Well, this is pretty blatant.
He served his penance for the last issue, right? And the same thing with the other issues he's had. Answered for those. So this one's new.
And
is he not trying to circumvent the rules? Well, if I can't tape legally, I'm going to get a production crew out there and tape this way.
Yeah, but that's still illegal what he was doing.
Is it?
Because they only had permission to film this guy in the stands before the game. They got him now filming. Well, not him.
It was a wide shot.
Yeah.
It was really wide.
Nice.
It was the sidelines encapsulating
the biggest issue in all of this is the fact that the first time around, the NFL handled this so poorly, and they could have, because you will never convince me or anyone who's not a Patriots fan that what those tapes were that were destroyed. I mean, I can't believe we're still talking about this, 12, 13 years later?
It is rather wild.
And it's still prevalent within this organization. The NFL could have gotten way out ahead of it had they just said, you know what? These are the tapes. This is what's on them. We are going to punish the Patriots more severely than we have ever punished any team in the history of the league. Bill Belichick, you're out. Robert Kraft, you're going to pay a hefty fine. But the problem was, I think what was on those tapes, and I'll never know, I'm just speculating, what was on those tapes was so bad and so damaging that had there been any way that those had gotten to the public, the NFL would have been tarnished forever. Hmm. Because you have Marshall Faulk saying that he believes this, and Marshall Faulk, look, he's got a lot of credibility, he's a Hall of Famer, granted, he was on the losing Rams team. Eric Dickerson, who was a Ram, but obviously not on those teams, has said he believes they cheated. Just 2 weeks ago, they caught a guy on the roof of a building in Dallas watching the Cowboys practice. I haven't read that he was part of the Patriots, but that's under wraps.
I love the Oliver Stone aspect of all this now. Man, it's tapes and people on buildings. There was a man in the window.
Bill Belichick, where was he the day JFK was assassinated?
Where were you,
Bill Belichick? What were his connections to Jack Ruby?
Oh, man. So, you heard the statement from Bill Belichick. Now, the tape at the end of the... Well, right. The tape at the end of the day is going to tell the story. The tape is in the hands of the NFL. Now, there is the, well, what is the NFL going to... We've already went through this, and the NFL did nothing. So, I understand if you are skeptical about what may come from this. There's a prior precedent there where, yeah, I understand you can feel a certain way about it. Here's where it gets interesting, though. I want to pull up the actual tweet because I just saw this a couple hours ago and if this is true, if what I'm about to read is the be-all, end-all, if it is what is on the actual tape, the Patriots are in serious trouble. This is this is courtesy of Paul Denner, Jr., senior writer and podcast host, covering the Bengals for The Athletic. Quote, according to sources who have viewed the tape, it shows about 8 minutes of footage focusing on recording the Bengals sideline. It's a direct view of the sideline as coaches make signals for plays. I mean,
you can't get any more blatant than that.
Yeah, I mean, if that is what's on there, if it is uninterrupted 8 minutes of sideline recording with a focus, I mean, you know what? You screw the focus on the hand signals. Take that outside. If it's 8 minutes of focusing on the sideline,
what else do they have? How many other organizations have they done this and not gotten caught?
Yeah. Yeah. That is the natural question to go to, right?
How long has this been going on?
Right.
And they haven't gotten caught. Right? Like, if you're the LA Rams, I hate to bring them up again, but are you starting to question? You know what? It seemed like they knew what we were doing before we did it.
And if this is what the report's saying from Paul Denner, you've got to think that the NFL is going to make up for lost time.
Well, I feel
don't
like
you, don't
they,
you think the noise was so loud from the first go-round? Fans like you, fans like me, fans that were so upset with the way that first go-round happened with Spygate.
Yes.
Don't you think this time that it'll be worse because of the lack of, I guess,
I
clarity that first time?
I don't know, because I feel like we kind of – the league kind of went above and beyond with – "quote unquote Deflategate," right? Like they kind of over. Remember we talked about OJ last week. How people said that the judge was too harsh in the sentence. Well, it kind of seems like with Deflategate that the punishment for that was a little more harsh than what they should have been punished for, and maybe it made up for the fact that they weren't punished very. I mean, I think they lost a first round pick and they were fined.
Yeah,
there were no, you know.
I like the fairness you're showing here.
Well, I have to be a little, I have to be a little impartial, as much as I hate that organization.
No, it's good.
But,
I'm the same way.
But
I do it when I talk about the Packers or any other team.
The reality is, as fans,
yeah,
it's hard for us to take the emotion out of it, right? Like, I don't cover the NFL. I'm not an NFL reporter.
Right.
I have zero connection to the league. I do hockey, and I try to be very impartial and unbiased when it comes to the Golden Knights. I am a Jets fan. I'm not a Golden Knights fan.
Yep.
When my team, the Jets, I feel like they've been screwed because this team in their division has dominated for so long, and they have been caught on multiple occasions breaking the rules. It kind of pisses me off and not want to watch, especially if they're not going to punish them.
Well, that is another risk that the NFL is running right now.
Right, like people got so bent out of shape about the Kaepernick stuff.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have. What they should be getting bent out.
It had nothing to do with the league, the integrity, nothing.
I'm not watching because of that, no. If there's a reason why you shouldn't watch, it's because if teams are cheating and winning championships by virtue of that cheating, and we can't prove that, but obviously there's some advantage to New England doing this, or they wouldn't be doing it. That's something that makes me want to not watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the league and Goodell take the approach of, well, people are going to watch no matter what, so screw them, we're going to do what we want to do, that is a dangerous game to play. Got the UFC in town, UFC 245, going down this weekend, a stacked card. We're going to have Max Holloway on the show tomorrow. He's going to be in studio. But I bring up the UFC because the UFC had, I think, similar problems on some level of not addressing fans' concerns and wants and desires. And UFC President Dana White had been adamant when cards didn't live up to fan expectations or too many cards or issues that, you know, fans didn't like, and they addressed him on Twitter. Now I'll give Dana White credit. He's no Roger Goodell. Dana White is very much out in front of issues, and he will give you a comment. He will not hold back. He is a touchable commissioner. You can get to Dana White, and he will give you an opinion, and largely his
opinion. Which is great.
It is.
That's kind of, I mean, for an organization that really relies on their fans, I mean, and let's be honest, UFC fans are some of the most hardcore loyal fans in the business,
well,
right?
Well, they used to rely on their fans, Magnum. I feel now more days they rely on streaming rights and television deals and you know, it's a monstrosity.
But
now,
it's about getting more access out there, more availability, more events for the fans who have this thirst.
Now Dana White has always been accessible, as we're talking about, right? But he's also, with that come statements like, well, if you don't like it, if you don't want to watch it, don't buy it. And that is, a dangerous sort of approach to have as a leader of a league, because UFC is a behemoth. And I understand where Dana's coming from. Listen, we give you so much content. We give you so many fights. We give you so much to consume. If there's a couple things you don't like, don't worry about it. Don't watch it. That's not who this is there for. The NFL has a similar approach, right? Like in terms of Thursday, Monday, Sunday. We're about to approach the Saturday games. Oh. It's just the preseason games. There's this inundation. There's this very clear cash grab happening with the NFL, and there is a disregard for integrity and cohesion and focus. I'm talking about the rules and some of the calls that we've been having with officiating that is driving fans to madness. Now, again, they're going to complain and they're going to say they're not going to watch, and they will always come back. Now, always is not the right word. They will come back. The question is how long will they come back for? 6 years, 7 years, 10 years? At some point, if these problems keep happening, if the Patriots are still cheating 10 years from now, and we have another story about filming on a sideline, people are just going to be like, well, why am I watching? And again, as sports betting goes legal across the country and more money gets wagered on this game,
That's
going to turn people off.
That's a big issue.
Lose $500 on a Patriots-Chiefs game, or whatever the case may be, right?
Yeah. That's a really good point, because, I mean, once you start getting into the world of gambling,
right, which more states are,
and you have serious questions, like I love when people mention the NHL and the injury report and how teams manipulate it, they hide things. Mm-hmm. That's an integrity thing. And from a league that's basically been the first league to really embrace sports gaming, the NHL, first league to say, you know what, we're not concerned about gambling in Vegas.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
You know, when they kind of hide these things, that becomes an integrity issue.
Yep.
Right? Like, how do you know? How do you make a defined...
Right, and it stacks.
Yeah, I mean...
Each issue becomes a compiling issue onto the next issue, and then you're left sitting there like...
Yeah, I mean, and if only a few people have access to that information...
Right.
Well, that's a big deal. That's a big issue.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Patriots and the Chiefs, well, more so the Chiefs in this case, Pat Mahomes' girlfriend, Brittany Matthews, caught it bad at Foxborough on Sunday. So much to the point that she had to be relocated and moved to a different section because the venom and the vitriol that she was receiving from New England fans was too much. She sent out some tweets about it. This place is horrible. People are already yelling every time I stand up. Am I not allowed to stand up for a football game? As soon as we sit down, drunk dude. Hey, everyone, this is Pat Mahomes' girl and brother. Let's give them blank. S word. This shall be fun. Frowny face. Next quote. Gillette security came and got us and moved us to a safe place. Clap hands emoji. That's how you know it was bad. I was told if I stand, they will call security and kick us out. Can't stand for your team. Some fans, y'all are, and then some emojis, cry face, question mark.
But, and it's funny that you brought up the Eagles earlier, because there is a reason why Eli Manning's wife had not gone to Philadelphia to watch games. She was there last night in the nice booth with Peyton.
In what might have been his final game.
Yeah.
Right.
So she hadn't, I think I read, she hadn't gone to a Eagles game on the road in 10 years.
Yeah.
Because the fans, I mean, when it becomes a safety issue for people, and I don't care if you're a visiting fan or not, like, that's a problem.
Yeah,
this happens in Europe with soccer.
And I will say this, it happens in Europe in soccer, but Magnum, do not kid ourselves. You grew up going to Jets games. I grew up going to Soldier Field. They are the worst environment for women.
Children.
For children.
Yeah.
I have seen the N-words. Crazy brawls and fights.
Yeah.
That in the bathroom brawls.
Yeah.
I'm just trying, basically brawls and fights, racial slurs.
Mm-hmm.
The most violent moments from my childhood came from, the baseball hat that I'm wearing, Comiskey, and Soldier Field. But again, as we have the Raiders coming here in a year, there's so much talk around Raider Nation and these Raiders fans are terrible. No, NFL fans are terrible.
Yeah.
Americans are terrible.
Yep.
And I don't care.
I used to have Chargers season tickets. I never took a rooting interest in the Chargers.
Because you're an NFL fan.
Yeah. I would see stuff in San Diego America's finest city, right? Mm. Laid back Southern California, that would make like dictators blush.
Yeah.
How evil and just nasty fans were.
And I know this is counterproductive to doing a sports show and then also throttling all these sports fans, but damn it, we're sports fans.
Yeah.
I'm a season ticket holder for the Knights. I will say this, Golden Knights game, some of the best you'll ever go to.
Yeah.
Now, I do think we're 3 years into it and it hasn't established that hardcore base or people. It's a little bit different.
They try to keep it a little more of a family environment.
I agree.
Even though a lot of times families can't afford.
I know. But I think it's a concerted effort, though, to change the narrative. And that's what needs to happen. A new generation needs to come up and say, hey, listen, you know, we can't have this reputation as sports fans. We're already viewed as meatheads and brainless and violent. Why don't you care about real things other than, you know, your stupid team and your colors?
Well,
there's other stuff going outside the world. You get all these labels. It's like you don't need to add stuff like this that Brittany Matthews had to go through. If anything, you should be like, that's Pat Mahomes' girlfriend. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, maybe you want to talk to her and have a conversation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Make her feel welcome. Again, Pat Mahomes could be on your team. But probably not because it's Pat Mahomes, but...
Yeah,
I mean, you wouldn't want Brady, you wouldn't want Giselle treated that way. Now she'd be up in a skybox, I'm sure. But
yeah, but still, I don't know. And the thing is, we need to see teams start to embrace stricter penalties for this. And I know again, it's Europe, it's soccer. Man United played Man City the other day, big rivalry within the city. There was a Manchester City fan who was thrown out of the game, banned for life because he was making monkey chants and acting like a monkey with his arms to a black player for Man United. Banned.
Good.
Done.
Good.
It's over. You are never coming in this stadium ever again to watch a game.
Now if Italy could just follow suit.
Yeah, Italy has some serious problems.
Can you believe that? What was the headline from that Italian newspaper a couple days ago?
Black Friday
with two black players
on the front. Yeah.
Let's say African American. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, they were both English.
Yeah.
No, one's Belgian, one's English.
Yeah. But two black players.
Yes, and it's Black Friday.
And there's huge, huge racism issues in Italian soccer.
Well, the owner of one of the teams, Brescia is the team that Mario Balotelli plays for, and he's a guy who's been, he's been the victim of a lot
He's a black guy.
Yes. Yeah. And he's been heavily attacked by people. And the owner even made a racial comment towards him and kind of laughed it off like it was a joke.
I'll say this. For as much as we're giving crap to American sports fans in the NFL, you know what I mean? It is important to keep in context that at least, you know,
Donald
Sterling could say the N-word and lose his team and lose out on billions of dollars.
We'll put it this way. With what the owner of Brescia said makes Donald Sterling look like MLK.
Exactly.
I mean, that's how bad it was.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at. We're still ahead of the curve in a lot of ways, but we can do better as sports fans. And this stuff is scary because you don't want to see it escalate, right? Like, thankfully, Gillette Stadium security stepped in and relocated them to a different area.
Well, like, remember that Indians brawl? Cleveland Indians baseball brawl a couple of years ago? Or I think it was this past season. Guys falling down rows of seats and...
Oh.
I mean, and you know, how about the White Sox? The day that the father and son ran on the field and beat up
Tom Gamboa.
Yeah, the Royals' first base coach.
Yep.
I mean, at what point do we as fans say, enough is enough?
Yep.
Like, I don't want to take my kid to a football game.
And you see it all the time with the viral videos. People standing around.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to get in the middle of it. Yes, then you interject yourself in a fight, but...
I'm not saying I'm going to get in the middle of two big guys fighting and falling down, but you know what? I'm not going to stand there and film it like an idiot either. Right. I may go get security.
You can do something, go get security, yell stop.
Yeah, calm down.
Point people out, be like, yo, blue hat, he's going that way. Security, that way.
Like, look, these guys have been talking for seven innings.
Yeah.
They've been drinking heavily for seven innings. We may need to do something before it gets out of control.
Yeah, and generally, I think, you know, stadium staffs are getting better, but clearly, it is still an issue. All right, when we come back, we didn't have time or news broke yesterday during the show, so we're going to get into it today. Record contract for 30-year-old Steven Strasburg coming off an MVP, World Series MVP, getting all the bags for the Washington Nationals. It's an exciting time in D.C. Obviously, multiple championships in the last couple years. They just re-signed their ace, but where does that leave Anthony Rendon? And more specifically, how much money is Gerrit Cole going to get?
The Mac Attack returns. You're listening to The Mac Attack.
Steven Strasburg, 31 years old. I said 30 going to break. Steven Strasburg, 31 years old and a record-setting $245 million contract over 7 years. Man, that is some serious cash. Congratulations, Steven Strasburg. No one, very few, more deserving of those accolades when you think about the trials and tribulations he's went through, the Tommy John surgery, all the way into, you know, sticking around the Nationals. Bryce Harper leaves. You don't know where it's going to, what exactly, where the direction of this team is going to land. They're clearly a good team, and they go out and they win the World Series, and you're the World Series MVP. And then the offseason, you get this deal. Now, there's a couple things I want to get to. First of all, that centers around the question, if this is your team, how comfortable do you feel about giving a 31-year-old pitcher $250 million?
Any
pitcher. I don't care if it's Jose Fernandez, you know, RIP, bringing him back at 24 years old, or Garrett Cole more specifically coming up here.
Well, when you factor in the age, it's concerning.
Well, we factor in the age. Factor in the fact that he had Tommy John. We factor in the fact that he, talking about Strasburg here, had missed the cutoff for even being in ERA consideration for the end of the year, meaning he didn't meet the minimum of qualified games, right?
Yeah.
He is kind of the definition of load management. Now, unbelievable.
Remember,
2019
they shut him down.
Yes.
1 year.
Yes.
And that backfired.
When they had a really good team, and that was coming off the Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in contention to win the World Series that year, and they shut him down.
And he didn't go. That's right. I forgot about that. So, I understand why you did this. You're managing him, yes, you're doing all those things. And I also feel like some of this money and some of this contract was a tip of the cap and a thank you to Steven Strasburg for what he's done. But when you look at the other mega contracts handed out in the last couple of years, David Price was the biggest prior to.
Oh, and that's been a monumental failure.
Right, right. And that, and the risk that you run and the money that pitchers are getting these days to play every 5 days. And listen, I'm not saying it's not important. Pitching's absolutely important. It's the most important. But a 31-year-old, locking him up till he's going to be 38 with a, you know, somewhat of health concerns. I guess I'm just, he played his way into it. I'm not, again, I, that's where we're at right now. It's just the next guy wants the next biggest deal. But I just, at some point, this has to level off.
Well, the problem is, I don't think Steven Strasburg is Nolan Ryan. I don't think he's Tom Glavine. I don't think he's John Smoltz, who's going to pitch until he's in close to 40.
He's not.
He's probably got 3 or 4 really good years left.
And when you bring up those names and you think about, guys that were
clearly, Greg Maddux,
clearly the best of their generation.
That entire Braves pitching staff from the 90s.
What about
all
Randy
those
Johnson?
Guys lasted.
You know how much money Randy Johnson would get a left-hander throwing 99 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Sidearm?
Yeah, he'd be the highest paid player in the game.
Yeah, 100%.
And he never.
You think Garrett Cole's good?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Randy
Johnson was awesome.
He was.
The big unit.
So you look at David Price, then there was the other contract with Zach Greinke, who was getting like $31 million a year. Again,
not a great contract.
Right. It's just, it's $31 million. It's nice to have him. I'm not saying it's not nice to have. Of course it is. Of course it is. But if I were, I'm a White Sox fan. Would I want, I guess, yes, you would. If Strasburg was willing to sign with you, you would just say, yeah, give him the money
because
it's not
your
money.
Yeah.
But it's just, if you had the same money to spend and you had your pick of the litter across Major League Baseball, which I feel like, okay, the Nationals probably don't have their pick of the litter, but they're not on the bottom of the totem pole.
They're defending World Series champ.
Right.
I mean, they'll be able to draw players.
Right, absolutely. So, I don't know. More specifically, I don't know, comes into the situation surrounding, I was going to call him a utility player, he's not, but Anthony Rendon. He just plays every position.
He's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he plays a little bit of everything. Obviously, a huge, monumental piece to that World Series championship. Conflicting reports out of the Nationals, out of D.C. Lerner, their owner, essentially said that he didn't think that the team could afford both Strasburg and third baseman Anthony Rendon.
Which is ridiculous if you think about it.
Well,
the team is worth over $1 billion.
Right.
Actually, close to $2 billion.
And that's what I think general manager Mike Rizzo kind of followed up on that and was like, this is what he said, quote, well, when you look at those comments
And then you look at the structure of this particular deal, talking about Strasburg, and the structures of deals we've had getting up to where we're at right now. I think that Mark realizes that there's ways to fit players in. There's ways that you can feel the championship caliber roster. And again, the resources have always been there, so I don't expect that to change. So boss man says that he doesn't think they can sign him. GM's like, sure you can, boss man.
Yeah.
They just won a World Series.
You know, and the thing with the Nationals, I wonder about, were they just a one-hit wonder?
Potentially.
Because they kind of came out of nowhere.
They don't feel like a back-to-back or a dynasty or a Houston or, and you know, to be, even the Yankees, when you look at like the way they're structured and the power and the bullpen that they've got and they're working on their starting pitching, and if they land, as we transition to the prized free agent right now, Gerrit Cole, if they land Gerrit Cole, they're not cut from that cloth. They're not the Dodgers.
Yeah,
they're not the Yankees. I don't even know if they're the Cubs.
No.
You know? I don't know.
I mean, a lot of their team was drafted. They've got guys like Howie Kendrick, who they just kind of found on the scrap heap and helped them win.
God, Soto was Soto.
Yeah, well, now he's a young star. But you know what? Now you start to run into what happens when he becomes a free agent. If we have too much money locked up in Rendon and Strasburg, he's probably not going
to
be a
And you have to have Soto. As we talk about the future and like, are they set up to have a dynasty? Whatever, are they going to win another World Series? Well, they're certainly not without Soto, most likely.
He is your Mike Trout.
Yeah,
obviously not as good as Mike Trout, but he is maybe a top 10 player already.
Yeah,
at 21 years old, 20 years old.
When you factor in what he did in the playoffs this year, yeah, he's a World Series champion.
He's got superstar all over.
Very Miguel Cabrera esque.
Yes,
that was the 100%. Likening that I jumped to watching him play this postseason.
He's fantastic.
Yep. Very Miggy-esque. All right, so that brings me to Gerrit Cole. I mean, what's he going to get?
$300 million
We could definitely be approaching Bryce Harper numbers.
Yeah.
Depending on where this battle goes, right? Because look at the teams that are involved.
Yankees, Angels.
Yep. No, more specifically Yankees and Dodgers. And yes, the Angels could be the wild card in there. And according to a report, it looks like, and I want to pull this up because I had this linked up and I wanted to mention this on the show. It's not just the Dodgers. It's not just the Angels. And it's not just the Yankees. This is from John Heyman, who's a really good source on Major League Baseball. He's an insider at Major League at MLB Network. He said, here there's a mystery team on Cole. Hard to imagine anyone thinks they're coming in late and outbidding the Yankees and two LA teams. Even if one of them's Anaheim, as he puts a nice qualifier in there. No idea the identity of said team, but that's why it's a mystery. Yes, John, that is why it's a mystery. Interesting, though.
I would wonder if it is the Texas Rangers.
What?
Because this is a team that in the past has come out of nowhere to sign high-priced free agents, right? Remember, they did it with A-Rod.
Yeah, A-Rod.
They did it with Yu Darvish.
Wasn't Kenny Rogers a big free agent signing?
Yeah, but not in that.
Not in the same vein.
But they're moving into a new stadium.
Yeah.
They could stick it to the Astros. And you know what? There's no state tax in Texas. Think about the taxes if you live in L.A. or New York.
Well, Cole is a SoCal guy. He wants to be in SoCal by all accounts. That's why he was drafted by the Yankees and he went to college. He didn't want to play.
Well, it's a little bit different when there's
a $300 million carrot.
When you're talking about a different – I mean – in theory, you would figure if a Texas team, whether it's the Astros or the Rangers, offered him $30 million or $300 million over 10 years, well, the Yankees, their $300 million over 10 years isn't going to go quite as far as the Rangers' $10 million over 3 years.
It's true. But money talks, and the Yankees got a lot of it, and their fan base is pissed.
They want him.
The Yankees fans want Gerrit Cole, and rightfully so.
The owners of the Yankees, who are the sons of George Steinbrenner, Hank and Hal. They seem more concerned with not going over the luxury tax. So if you are a franchise...
Good luck doing that as a New York Yankee owner.
Yeah, they're almost going to have to.
Yes, they have to. If Gerrit Cole wants to... like, if it's a 10-year, 9-year deal, if it's a 9-year deal for $320 million from the Dodgers, if you're the Yankees and you don't offer 9 years and $335 million, their fans are going to eat you alive.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, this is a huge offseason for these teams. Now, I think L.A. can get – I mean, L.A. stacked. L.A. seemingly gets all the free agents, especially in terms of pitching, right? They add a lot of – they have a lot of talent there at the roster. Whether that talent actually performs is a whole other story, right? We've known about the Yankees. They need starting pitching, whether it be Severino not living up or at least being on the mound as much – pitching from the mound, being on the mound as much as they would like. And they got the bullpen.
They lost Sabathia. He's done. Tanaka's not bad, but he's not, you need the ace. He's not your elite.
You need not just the slump buster. You need the Cy Young guy.
Yeah.
And Garrett Cole. Think about this. He's 22 months younger than Strasburg at 29 years old. He has zero injury history. And I would say he's a better pitcher.
He's the best pitcher in baseball.
Yep.
How he didn't win the Cy Young is dumbfounding.
We know why.
Yeah.
It was the legacy.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
It was a lifetime achievement. And again, I don't want to take away from Verlander because it was an outstanding season.
But it was very clear that
Garrett Cole is the best pitcher in baseball.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting to see because this is going to say a lot about these teams, these franchises, and very similar to the Kevin Durant situation, right? Where it's like, well, who's he going to pick? Because it's going to say a lot about the coasts and the franchises that he's involved with wherever he decides to go. And I think this is the same situation with Garrett Cole. When we come back, I want to dive into the best fight card of the year, UFC 245, going down this weekend. It is packed with star power. We are having one of the biggest stars of the card in studio tomorrow. I'm talking about featherweight champ Max Holloway. So let's talk about it when we come back here on the Mac Attack.
The Mac Attack returns.
All right, UFC 245 going down this weekend. Main event, Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman for the welterweight championship. But that ain't it. We also got a matchup featherweight between, or this is going to be a bantamweight, excuse me. Actually, she's champ. So I should probably preface that. Double champ, Amanda Nunes, taking on Jermaine Durandamy, who was at the time the inaugural featherweight champion of the UFC, but Jermaine Durandamy, after winning the featherweight title, refused to fight one Chris Cyborg because Chris Cyborg in the past had tested positive for steroids, and she said she didn't want to fight a person who had been on steroids prior, so they stripped her of the belt. Well, now she's getting her chance this time. Different belt this time. Bantamweight title, but a title nonetheless. Chance for Jermaine to get back a championship in her win column, but it's going to be a tough, obviously a really tough sell because Amanda Nunes is an absolute wrecking machine. But one of the fights I'm most interested in, I would say outside of Kamaru and Covington, which is the main event, there's also a huge fight in the co-main event between one Max Holloway and Alexander Volkanovski. Now, Max is the featherweight champion. He is on a historic win streak at featherweight, something like 13 or 14 fights. He has not lost, but he's coming off a loss to Dustin Poirier. Why? Well, because Max wanted to jump up and wait and see if he could become lightweight champion as well. He is one of those guys, for those of you who don't know him, he's Hawaiian, cut from the cloth. If you remember BJ Penn in those early years, kind of fight anywhere, fight at any weight, represent the island, and just go out and consistently have like fight of the year candidates.
BJ Penn was awesome. He was like... He was a warrior.
Yep.
And, right? He totally was the epitome of UFC. Yep. Like, he was all about MMA.
And I'll tell you what, Holloway is cut from that same cloth. He's gung-ho. He is NFG, no blanks given at all times. He is he's a really interesting young man. And I say young man because he is just 28. He just turned 28. And I was geared up for our interview tomorrow, and I was doing some homework, went back and reading some stories. I wrote a story about him in for Yahoo Sports 4 or 5 years ago. He was 23 years old. He was yet to be champion. He hadn't even fought for a title yet. He did have a fight against Conor McGregor that he had lost, but he was like 21 when he fought him. He had just bought his first house in Hawaii. Like, it's just crazy to see the progression. Now he's just 28. It was only 5 years ago. But when you look at the levels at which he's reached, and you look at the attitude that he's taken, truly one of the good guys in the sport, right? All about hard work, all about dedication, truly. All about representing himself and the island in the best way possible. And he's fun, he's invigorating, and he's young. We hope that he's going to be around the sport for a long time. The issue with Max, as I said, he loves to put on fights of the year. And right now, his chin is a 28-year-old's chin. He has, in my opinion, the best chin in fight sports, in combat, in mixed martial arts, and one of the best chins in the history of mixed martial arts. He cannot be knocked out. That's not good. Sometimes getting knocked out's a good thing. It's nature's way of telling you that you're too tough for your own good.
Yeah.
Sit down. So I worry.
The thing is, when it comes, it may be shocking.
Yes. And it always is. Chuck Liddell, whoever, take your pick. Frank Shamrock. When the chin goes, the chin goes, and that's the end of your career. So Max is in a good spot right now. I want to see him stay in a good spot because he is a very enjoyable fighter to watch, and it's going to be interesting to see where his career arc goes. But this fight against Volkanovski, I'll tell you what, Max is just a minor favorite going into this fight. The sharps and the smart people have been on Volkanovski, and they should be. I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm taking Holloway because until someone gives me reason not to take Holloway, which no one's done over the last 5 years, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pick against the man. But Volkanovski is a man who has yet to be truly tested. Now, he's fought some really good fighters. I don't want that to sound the wrong way. But what we're going to find out from Max Holloway in this fight on Saturday is going to be something special. But again, this is a fight card of the year. You're talking Amanda Nunes, Jermaine Durandamy. You're talking Alexander Volkanovski and Max Holloway, Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington. And then you got like Uriah Faber and Peter Yan on this card. Like, there are huge names on this card.
I didn't even know Uriah Faber was still fighting.
He came back. He was retired. He was retired for 2 or 3 years.
He's a really cool guy, and I've been lucky enough to talk to him a few times. He is a really cool guy.
Yep, he's truly one of the best people in the sport and a great ambassador for the sport. But he has his hands full of Peter Yan. Good chance he loses on Saturday. But, again, just an absolute stacked fight card. Matt Brown is on the fight card. Those of you that remember Matt Brown, it's just a lot of good names. This is the fight card that the UFC has been waiting to put on all year, so fans should definitely be excited. And as I mentioned, Max Holloway going to be in studio tomorrow, so we're going to be able to catch up with Max, and you're going to be able to hear him tomorrow. I'm really excited to see what he's got to say. All right, Magnum. Vegas Golden Knights in action tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks in a couple hours down there at T-Mobile. The news of the day. Valentin Ziekov fighting his way back to Vegas.
Well, I think the news of the day is Marc-Andre Fleury will be in net tonight.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Minor detail, first game back for Flower.
But yeah, I think I'm got to remember what I said, but I believe I said I don't believe Valentin Ziekov will ever play a game for the Golden Knights again.
Yeah, well.
I think not only shocking to me, everyone you talk to is shocked because we all thought, especially the guys who were really close to the team, covered the team, We all felt like he was done. But
were you there today when he did his little press conference?
Yeah, I was actually talking to Riley Smith at the time, who will be our pregame interview tonight. Okay. But I did have a chance to watch the press conference, and he didn't really. It seemed like it was very scripted.
Well, yeah, he's Russian. He doesn't speak English that well, and he's nervous. He just tested positive for steroids.
Yeah, he just wants to get on with it. And you know, I like the attitude that the team has taken. Like, look, you know what? He made a mistake.
Yep.
He deserves a second chance.
Yep.
If it was you at your job, you'd probably feel like you deserve a second chance, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do not think, even if he took all the steroids, went to Sly Stallone himself and Arnold and got that good, got that Barry Bonds big head cream.
Yeah, he was hanging out with Victor Conti.
Right. Whatever the case may be, it's not an egregious lifetime ban, you know, be done with a person. No, it was a mistake. He said he wants to move on. I'd like to see him address it a little bit more, but again, he's Russian, English. He's not that good of a player yet, so... I think the Knights just hope that he can fly under the radar. That's why they had this little presser, right? They're this little scrum. Get out in front of it, let him have his comments, and then let's move on because they got bigger fish to fry. And Magnum, that fish to fry would be their home wins. They need to start winning at home. When you look at their record, they're actually with the overtime losses under 500. So, yeah, Knights need to get it in gear. We will have a full recap of that on tomorrow's show. And, of course, featherweight champ, the UFC, Max Holloway. See you tomorrow, friends.